miracle of healing. This is Dr. Herbie L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, bringing you the thought for today, the miracle of healing. Those of you who have the ability to call our dial an inspiration will have a chance to hear the miracle of healing several times. But the miracle of healing is a very wonderful thing. It's taking place in our life every single moment, every single day. Every day we are lifting up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, from whence cometh all of the joy of the vision that we put up there. Now, a lot of people have the confused idea that something comes out of the hills to them. Something good goes from me, good comes to me. Good goes from me, good comes to me. Only that way. Only when good goes from us does it come to us. In the miracle of healing, it's the same thing. If thoughts of illness go from us, thoughts of illness come to us. If thoughts of poverty go from us, thoughts of poverty come to us. If thoughts of lack and limitation, unhappiness, sadness, anything go from us, that's what comes to us. But, you see, it isn't easy to be living in a world and experiencing negative experiences and not to think about them. That's right. We all know the story about the medical doctor, the surgeon, and medical doctors in general. They do not like to treat their own families because they get emotionally involved when they're doing surgery, say, on their child. Surgery on the brain or surgery on some very, very important part. And doctors know only too well how many people die in the hospital. We say people go to the hospital because they're very sick and they're at their last legs and stuff like that. That's true. But people don't have to die there, but they do. Because that is the thought. Doctors know people die in the hospital. So, when a doctor takes his family member to the hospital and has to have the operation take place, the doctors know how some insignificant little experience can be a great trauma and end up in death. Some insignificant illness you go in for, which has to be taken care of there in the hospital, ends up with pneumonia and death. Now, why do these things happen? My God, Herb, you're sure on a negative kick. Yes, that's true. Why do these things happen? Because that's the thoughts we have in our mind. That's the thoughts we have in our mind. What does the Grim Reaper look like? You know what the Grim Reaper is? That's death coming to pick up his next customer. The Grim Reaper. The Grim Reaper is depicted usually, and the doctors are depicted usually, both in the same costume, both in the same appearances. Ghoulish. Now, I think it's about time we make a few changes in our consciousness. Do you find doctors salubrious to your health? And I would say we should. If we find doctors beneficial to our health, then let's begin to paint the picture of the doctor as being beneficial to our health. Now, why are you spending umpty-dump dollars in the hospital when it's just a place of death? Well, maybe we ought to change our attitude about it. Begin to think of the hospital as a place of life. Gesundheit House. The house of health. We talked about it in Germany and in Switzerland, how they had these Kranken cards, the cards of the sick people, the cards of the sick, the Kranken House, the house of the sick, you know. What a terrible thing to do. Well, we spoke about that for many years in Europe, and one day one of our students was speaking to the minister of in charge of that particular thing in Germany. And she said, why are we calling these Kranken cards and encouraging people to be ill and to recognize their illness? Let's call them Gesundheit cards. Well, this had been a thought on my heart for many, many years, and I had gone to hospitals and to my students and everywhere in Europe and Germany and Switzerland talking about it, and just letting the seed be planted. Well, the time had come for that seed to germinate and to take form and fruit. And our student, Karin Hussein, who is over in Germany, went to the minister in the office where she works and said these things. And the minister heard Karin and said, "Wow, that's great." And so he went to the rest of the ministers and he says, "I've come up with a great idea. I think we should do this. It's a lot more positive and a lot more directional." "Bravo, minister, you are brilliant. Bravo, minister." And that doesn't matter. Karin didn't need that congratulations, nor does the University of Healing need that congratulations. We are just delighted that around the world people are beginning to think of a Gesundheitshaus, a house of good health, rather than a Krankenhaus, the house of illness. And they might say Gestorbenhaus, the house of death. I'm surprised they don't use that over there in Germany and Switzerland, you know, Gestorbenhaus.
Totenhaus.
The Totenhaus. It's the same thing, death. Gestorben is, you mean you're dead, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you go there to die. So, the Totenhaus. Now, that would be a sad thing, wouldn't it? So, okay. Can you see how easy it is to fall in that trap? And now, all throughout Germany and Switzerland, the people who live there and work there have a Gesundheitscard, which is a wellness card, and it encourages them to be well. And this is beautiful. Now let's us look at miracles. How do we manifest miracles in our life? We do it very easily. We say, "I'm sick," and we're sick. We say, "I'm poor," and we're poor. We say all those negative things. Let's change it and say, "I am rich. I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich." Reverend Ike was a great promoter of being rich. And he would get up there and he says, "Don't you let folks tell you that you is poor. You is rich. You is rich, 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 rich." And in his black dialect, he would bring these things out. And the people would say, "Yeah, yeah, 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 was rich, was rich, was rich." And it doesn't matter how you say it. But believe it. And those people believed it. And Reverend Ike drove around in Rolls Royce in every town where he appeared, and Reverend Ike was wealthy. He had $500 and $600 suits when $500 and $600 suits were expensive. Today, $1,000 suit and $2,000 suits are not unreasonable, you know. But that's inflation. And Reverend Ike went to the top of inflation. But then Reverend Ike hit a stone. He hit an obstacle. And the obstacle was, people weren't getting the message. They weren't getting the message that this was a spiritual gift, not just a physical gift. The physical gift brought them to his audience. "You're rich, you're rich, you're rich." That brought them to his audience. And they loved it, and they believed it, and they practiced it, and they were rich. But they were sick. They had other maladies. They had bad relationships. And the message didn't get through to them that they also are rich in good relationships. They also are rich in good health. They're also rich in harmonious relationships in everything they do. You see, this is why transcendental meditation, being at the magnificent tool that it is, fails to overwhelm the world. Because there's not an end product. They take you there and they leave you there, and you're just there with your own stupid self that you were there before. And so now you're just applying this wonderful principle to your old attitudes. And we need to upgrade our attitudes. And our attitude is, "I am a miracle maker." "Oh, you're a miracle maker? Ha ha ha. Shut up. I will never speak out loud again. I am a miracle maker. I say that to myself. I say it to my world, and I am. I say it to people that I meet, and they are." Now, If Ellen, as she spoke to this little boy as she was in town yesterday, if she had said to the little boy, "You're a genius," and the little boy, 3 years old, says, "What's a genius?" And she explained that a genius knows everything. A genius is exceedingly intelligent. A genius listens to the divine within and knows all. Now that's super. But that's the death knell of being a genius. Does Ellen have the courage and the ability to say to this youngster, "That's a secret between you and me. That's a secret between you and me. That's a kindness for us. A secret for us." And somebody else comes on. "You got secrets? What's the secret all about? Must be a bad secret. Must be a sexual secret. Must be this or that." See, right away people put those, but it's a secret. And when you hold it in your heart, Jesus said, "Put it in your heart. It's between you and God. Tell no one." But we got to go out and tell everybody. And then other people laugh at us. And other people say, "He thinks he's a genius. I have never met a person quite as stupid as he is, but he thinks he's a genius. He's got his marbles all screwed up upstairs." Who needs people saying those things about you? You have tuberculosis. And so you go around saying, "I'm home perfect, I'm home perfect, I'm home perfect." And the people look at you and say, "My goodness, they're about ready to go over the hill. They're for the last niche, the last roundup." But when you say, "I'm home perfect," you take it in your heart. You take it to God in you. You take it to the presence of the truth in you. And you bring that out in your life. And you don't tell anybody. Telling everybody your secrets, telling everybody your kindness, is making a problem for you. Because you're not only battling your own attitude to become aware that you are super, but then you're battling the attitude of others who say, yeah. They're kind of way out, you know. They don't recognize the truth about themselves. They don't recognize that they're not really perfect. They don't recognize that they're not, that kid's not a genius. He's just 3 years old. He doesn't know how to spell. He doesn't know anything. Hey, that's not what a genius is. A genius is one who's got a connection. He's got a connection to that divine mind in him. And he uses that connection for everything. It's not just a matter of getting good grades in school, that too. But it's being in tune with your divine self. That's what it's all about. Jesus said, "Take it to your Father in secret, and your Father who seeth in secret will reward thee openly." We can take it to our divine self in secret, and our divine self reveals all these things to us openly and wonderfully. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for miracles in your life? It means you're going to have to let go of a lot of friends. You're going to have to let go of that annual summer cold, that regular winter cold. You're going to have to let go of those symptoms that say you got this, that, and the other. You're going to have to let go of the longevity of a cold or anything else. You're going to have to let go of these things and start acting from a different point of view. Are you ready to do that? You say, "Oh, sure. And then I bawl you out or I give you a hard time. "Oh, Herb, why you pick on me?" Ooh. You shouldn't see me picking on you. You should see me loving you. Don't you see the smile on my face while I'm growling at you? Don't you see the smile in my eyes when I'm saying to you, "You dumb, you idiot"? Don't you see it? Now, if you accept when I say you're a dum-dum and an idiot, you are a dum-dum and an idiot. But if you, in hearing me say that, say, "He's saying that to me to help me strengthen my attitude about myself and get myself back on gear, I am obviously putting forth that image, and that's not the image I want to put forth. I am brilliant. I am alive. I am alert. I am enthusiastic about life. I am happy. I am happy. I am happy. Steve, how many times did you realize that you didn't have, that you had a frown on your face? How many times did you not realize that you had a frown on your face when you had a frown on your face? You were concentrating, thinking of something real deep. And somebody said, what are you unhappy about? Nothing. Why? Well, you had that deep frown on your face. Oh. You see, we get the outer symbols of the inner confusion, and we don't even know we have it. We don't even know that we have this attitude shining forth, which is not the attitude that we want to have shining forth. So now, how do we handle that? Because we look in the mirror. Each time I look in the mirror, what happens?
I see only God in me.
I see only God in me. It's a wonderful song. We should all learn it. Because it says, to know me is to
love me.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
You see, it's a simple little song. It's a egotistical song, but a wonderful egotistical song. Would you say to a little child, that was a stupid thing to do, that was a dumb thing to do? Or would you say to a little child, Dorothea, come, let's do it this way and see how you like that, the correct way. And Dorothea says, oh, that was so easy. And you say, you did it, Dorothea. You did it. Oh, good. Dorothea, you're stupid. You're dumb. You don't know what's going on. Let me show you how to do this now. Pay attention now. I'm going to show you how to do this. And, you know, boing, 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 blank, 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 you know. The kid is in another land. He says, I won't be talked to like that. I won't do that. Instead of the kid saying, well, kind of tough, but I'll listen and see maybe there's something good in there. Now, I'm very gentle with all of you, all of the time. I give you little suggestions. I give you suggestions three times. And if after the third time you don't get the suggestion, I do one of two things. I say, to hell with you. Or I say, listen! And then all of a sudden I got your attention, you know, like hitting the mule with a 2x4, you know. All of a sudden you got his attention. You're putting a cause in motion that you don't want. You say you don't want. But I don't feel good. No, that's just it. You keep saying you don't feel good. You're not going to feel good. You're going to keep feeling less good. Start putting the cause in motion. I feel good. And when you do that, throw your shoulders back. I feel good. Throw your chest out. I feel good. Put your chin up. I feel good. And think of yourself, oh man, I feel good. I feel good. Where is the dance going to be held tonight? I feel real good. Where's the party? Ha! And Ellen, she's always the source of interesting things for me. Ellen told me that she met an old friend. And the old friend was used to doing golf and was quite good at golf. And she said to the old friend, well, how has it been on the links? You know, have you kept a good score and have you, you know, got a good par, a good handicap for yourself? And he said, oh, I put my clubs aside. I have decided I'm going to be an artist. I am working on that. Now, why did he put his clubs aside? Well, it could have been a number of reasons. One, he might have arthritis, lumbago, and he might have trouble with his arms and legs. And, of course, that's the first thing that comes to anyone's mind. Or he might have found that he could not suppress the creative genius that he had in him all the years of his life, and he had to go out and do it. And he had to go out and do it. But then he made a little mistake. He told Ellen all about how good he was. Never do that. Never have a shill handy, but you never do it. He should have had his son try him to say, and you know my dad, he's good. He's real good. He did a bust of this man, and the man says, it looks so good. The first bust he ever did. It looks so good. I want to buy that from you. And then the man's little boy came in. Daddy, that's you. That's you, Daddy. And what a salesmanship it would have been. But he said it of himself. And so it was nothing. Whenever we compliment ourselves in front of other people, we can be sure it's not a compliment. We are downing ourselves. You got to have a shill. You got to have someone in there to speak on your behalf. And I say, well, Dodie, how are you doing today? And she said, my name is Dorothea. And I said, oh, when did that happen? Well, I just decided that I haven't lived up to all of the beauty that Dorothea is. And I started to stumble and take a shortcut and make my name shorter into Dodie, and I'm a doting old lady. I'm a doting old lady. You know what a doting old lady is? Yeah. Well, is that who you are?
No.
Oh, no. Okay. You see, we're casting aspersions at ourselves, and we don't want to do that. We want to let miracles happen in our life, and they happen in our life when we know how to program it. So, the mother goes to the child and says, you stupid kid, you'll never learn. And the sister comes along and says, hey, Jimmy, come here. And Jimmy knows that she's a nice sister. Jimmy, you're not stupid. You're very smart. Come here, let me show you something. Now, this is how I do it. And it always works out real nice and easy that way. Now, you see if you can do it that way. And so Jimmy says, sure, sure, you're my good sister. Not my evil sister, my good sister. And so he does as his sister tells him, and he says, oh, that was easy. Now, don't tell mommy. Don't tell mommy that I showed you how to do it. Let it be our secret. But you just do it. And next time mommy says to do that, you do it. And she'll say, oh, you finally learned. Well, that's good. And you knew it all along. You just need someone to show you how to bring it out. That's what Uncle Paul did for me. Uncle Paul showed me all these things, and he showed me how to bring it out. Is that why you're such a sweet sister? Uncle Paul is a real nice guy. Well, he helped. He cared when I was going through some tough experiences of finding myself, finding the miracles in me. I'm glad I got you for a sister. You see, it's how we approach it. Mother is doing her best. She's frustrated. She's overworked with all the things she has to do. But mother has made one grave mistake. You're never too frustrated, too busy to take care of your little angel. Even if your little angel is a pain in the neck, you're never too busy. And you're never going to let them feel that you don't have time for them. You're never going to let them feel that you're too busy to share with them what they need to know at that time. You see, that's a miracle too. That's a miracle of healing. And we could go on giving illustrations like this until a month of Sundays. But put it into practice. Practice these wonderful things and let the miracle of healing be yours as you are healed into an awareness of the divinity that is within you, the goodness that's within you, and the last step. Because it is the last step. There are millions in this world, if they really knew that we were doing the last step here, they'd come and learn our dance. But they don't. It doesn't matter. Because I am doing this for myself. And you're doing it for yourself. So let's have a good time doing it. And remember, I love you very much. And I release you to be yourself at all times. And I release you to walk any road you want to walk, whether the road is beneficial or not beneficial. But I see you at all times being your divine self. And that's all that matters. I love you.